Welcome to Rob's Reliability Project. I'm Rob Kalvarowski. On this week's episode, I welcome on Drew Welch from Resilient Reliability.
Okay, first off, before we get into implementing, one thing I would like to clear up is we use the term CMMS, EAM, APM, and all of them are essentially the same thing. EAM tends to be a little more tied to an ERP system, but in general, they're all the same thing. Now, as far as looking at a mobile first system, I think first and foremost is your feedback loop. If your feedback loop is not getting back to one, the people putting the work orders in, and two, the people putting the work orders in are not able to feed up the chain what problems they're having, you're setting yourself up for failure right from the beginning. When you add to that not understanding costs and not prioritizing how you're going to run the CMMS and using the CMMS as the tool it's intended for, because at the end of the day, CMMS is a tool. It's just as useless as a hammer if you're trying to change a tire.
So when we talk a little bit about CMMS implementation in the real world, like where should people start? Like what is a good real world CMMS implementation? Like what does it look like?
Okay. The first part of that would be that everybody understands some of the basic concepts. That's where a lot of times you fail right off the bat. People don't understand really what the savings are or what a CMMS does if they haven't used one or seen one used appropriately in over 10 years. So what you want to do is you want to start out, get everybody in the same room, and write up exactly what you want out of the CMMS. Because saying we're going to install a CMMS is not the same as saying here's what we need this CMMS to do to meet the needs of the organization, and therefore meet the needs of the maintenance team. And a lot of times those two are a little different, and you run into a CMMS that they want to install because corporate told them to. But the problem with that is there's no buy-in because there's no value for the maintenance organization. So they're going to do the bare minimum. Like you discussed earlier, I've got to do this and I've got to make sure everybody has 12 hours worth of work and nobody's explained to me why. So I'm going to make a 12-hour filter change. Just make that work. Whereas when you're leveraging a CMMS properly, you're able to catch all your data. You're able to see, okay, what parts were checked out against this work order. Okay, now I'm able to trend, what part do I have failing the most in my plant? Okay, why is this part failing? Do we need higher quality? And that's how you can start getting to the bottom of the data and start doing the RCAs and things of that nature with actual data rather than thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's where the value of good CMMS is. Like, obviously, there's planning and scheduling value where you can increase efficiency, but the big stuff for me, as obviously sitting there as a reliability engineer, I want to really dive into kind of the stuff we talked about with John Reeve, which is the failure codes, diving into the data, the bad actors list, and really figuring out how I can improve the value of my plant.
Absolutely. And there's two sides to that, and that's where the feedback loops become really important. There's the people putting the information in and the people who are getting the information out. And each needs to know what the other one's dealing with. Because it's unrealistic. Okay, let's say guys normally works a 12-hour shift. It's right before vacation. Something went down, but there's nobody coming in behind him. He wants to make sure the problem's fixed. Okay, so he works an extra hour over. He's probably not going to give you the best notes. But if he gives you some notes, and it's already ingrained that before you leave, you have to finish your work orders, and you've got the failure codes already set up for him to select, and then he explains just really quickly what happened, you've got the data you need. And then you already have the parts attached because he had to have the work order to get the part. So now you can go back and delve back into that data later. You don't want to make it such a hassle, though, that the work order takes so long to fill out that people just don't want to fill in anything else additional because it took them forever to get it in. I think to put in a work order should take less than 30 seconds. To answer a basic work order, 30 seconds to a minute. If it's taking you longer than that, you're not going to get the buy-in you're wanting. People will do it, but the harder you make it, the less data you get. The more data you get, the more you can actually do with the data.